This is the Lombardi Line with Stormy Bonatoni and Mike Palm on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Friday edition of the Lombardi Line coming to you live from downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. This show, as always, presented by DraftKings. Mike Palm and Stormy Bonatoni with you. Lots to get to. We got two NBA play-in elimination games today with the eight seeds on the line in the Eastern and Western Conference. The NHL regular season is in the books. We had some matchups that we didn't expect that now will be taking place in the NHL postseason, which gets underway this weekend. Nick Alberga is going to join us coming up in about 15 minutes. He covers the Leafs very closely. Excited to get his thoughts on the Eastern Conference and just the NHL postseason as a whole. As far as tonight, though, you do like one team tonight.
I like the Kings tonight, laying the point on the road in this game against the Pelicans. I don't love them a lot. I don't like them as much as I liked the Bulls the other night, but I'll probably have a small play on the Kings.
I wonder if I missed something because the Kings are plus one now.
Are they really?
That's on. That's what I'm looking at DraftKings right now.
That's a two-point move.
I got to look at something. But yeah, that's significant. But I agree with you on the surface, though, that it feels like without Zion Williamson, the Brandon Ingram injury and the way that it was only his second game back, and had to get pulled early, didn't look himself. Lots of questions there. It's weird, these play-in games, to me, because you have significant injuries to such star players. No Zion Williamson and no Jimmy Butler in the first game of the day, Heat Bulls. It is just kind of the excitement factor that I had for these games has gone away a little bit.
Well, right. That's the headline. Who's not playing tonight? But still, I mean, this is the, as you call them, elimination games, the true elimination games, where making the playoffs or missing the playoffs. And I think it's a big game for the Kings to get in. You know, remember, they were the three last year. They got beat by the Warriors, got beat at home by 20 in the game seven by Golden State. Get back in, give yourself a shot against Oklahoma City for Mike Brown to continue to try to bring that team back, a proud franchise that was so good in the early 2000s and even parts of the 90s. So I think it's a really important game for the franchise.
Yeah, I'm looking all over Twitter. I don't see anything, so interesting there. But yeah, we're sitting Kings plus one right now, the latest odds in DraftKings Sportsbook. Do you have any lean either way? We had Noops Christensen from FTN Bets, who joined us a little bit earlier in the program, in that Bulls Heat game. He liked the over 205.5, over 206, even without Jimmy Butler. Any thoughts on the side or total in Bulls Heat?
No, I have no thoughts. I would have liked the Heat, try to lay a few points with the Heat if Jimmy Butler was in, the bounce back off the loss to Philly, which they still only lost by a point to Philly, against the Chicago team. I like Spoelstra a lot, but I can't do it here without Jimmy Butler.
Were you surprised that he finished that game?
I was.
Like, how much did he have to gut that out? It looked...
You know, he's very tough, but he's another one that's gone through injury after injury after injury, it seems like every year.
Yeah.
But, he takes over games. He's one of in the Eastern Conference, one of the few guys that you can just take over games.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we talk about the NBA, NHL postseason getting underway here soon. We are also less than a week away officially from the NFL draft. And I feel like every day we're getting new information coming out of whether it's leaks or people on social media or even just overly dissecting every comment that we hear from these head coaches and general managers in their pre-draft press conferences. But Bills GM Brandon Bean had some comments this week about specifically looking for a number one wide receiver and the fact that they don't have one right now. But he said he doesn't feel like it's a glaring hole, which is very surprising to me, considering you look at the wide receivers on their active roster right now, consisting of Curtis Samuel, Khalil Shakir, Mac Hollins, and Justin Shorter. And if you said who about a couple of the guys that I just listed, I don't blame you for feeling that way. Bean said it doesn't mean we won't have success on offense or as a team if we don't have a number one wide receiver.
Well, what positions are going to have at skill that they're going to be able to do anything? They haven't run the football very effectively at all outside of Josh Allen. You had Diggs, but you run all these short routes and everything's a comeback with them, right? There are very few balls where he tries to go over the top. So in that respect, maybe it's the offensive system that they're using that they say they don't need a star. You'll be able to draft wide receivers, but it's a big difference between being a one and being a two and having a guy that commands the attention of the defense. If you don't have that, that gives the DC so many more options on what he can do. So they seem awfully confident
Yeah.
And I try to find reasons to play against them for somebody else to win the East, but they're all so flawed, right?
Of course.
They're really flawed. I mean, I would almost have to drag myself into taking the Jets at this point if I wanted to try to fade the Bills. I'd rather just like maybe bet the Bills win total under.
I think that the Jets of that group have the most potential upside, but I can't get on board on betting them because I don't have faith that they're going to be able to stay healthy. Like the people that they have brought into this organization, yes, are incredibly talented, but you have Aaron Rodgers, who is aging, coming off a serious surgery in an Achilles. You bring people in on your offensive line that both have injury history. Mike Williams, injury history, like just go on and on. I mean, even their running back had a
Breece Hall.
Torn knee just a year ago.
What a good kid.
He's great. But the Dolphins, who can't beat a good team to save their life. So the Bills are, I think, the rightful favorite in this spot. But that's a division I'm probably just going to stay away from betting in general.
What's the Bills win total? You have that off the...
Isn't it 9.5? Or is it 10.5?
I don't know.
I'll pull it up. You can keep talking while I pull it up.
I like to listen for your insights. If it's 10.5 and you don't have to let a big juice to the under... I mean, I think these teams are good enough to be, I mean, they're probably
9.5.
Yeah, too bad. I guess I could lay an alt, but I'm probably going to have to lay $2 to get to the under there. And I would wait till the schedule comes out to see what are the tough spots on the non-divisional games. But you know, the Dolphins and Jets, the best case scenario for the Bills, probably they go, 4-2 in the conference games, and then they need to win another 6 to go over. 7 if you got to 10.5. So we'll see. We'll see how the draft goes, and we'll see what the schedule makers end up doing. And usually they release that, the second Thursday in May?
Jets win total is -115 to the over. Miami also 9.5, -145 to the over. And then the Bills are 10.5 at -120 to the over. So all juice on the over for whatever their numbers are. The Bills are -280 to draft a wide receiver as their first selection. They sit at number 28 overall right now. Could trade up, though. Michael said that that's something that he could see happening in this spot. It's a very talented wide receiver class, so I wouldn't blame them for going there. It's -280 to draft a wide receiver, plus money, obviously, on everything else. D-line edge, +425, O-line, +550.
You think they'd go far up? I mean, 3 wide receivers are going to go in the top 10, I would think.
Yeah, I don't think they would go.
So they're looking at the next 3 guys.
Correct, like that middle echelon area. Also, while we talk about, we go from a team with a quarterback named Josh Allen, a team with a defensive player named Josh Allen, and the Jacksonville Jaguars are talking a lot about the potential for a new deal for their quarterback and Trevor Lawrence. GM Trent Baalke said the team's still working toward that contract extension, but they're not trying to force anything. They have until May 2nd to make a decision on whether or not they exercise the 5th-year option on his rookie deal, but it feels like he's going to get the extension season starts.
Well, why wouldn't they?
They never seem to re-sign their first round draft picks outside of Josh Allen. But no, I think that they're going to. The thing with Trevor Lawrence is Michael and I have talked about it a lot on the program is that while he's been the best of that draft class, he's still has a lot of issues. He had more turnovers than anybody in the National Football League.
But certainly there's a market for him if he doesn't re-sign if they don't.
But no, they want him to be their franchise quarterback for a long time, of course.
Well,
just a matter of when it gets done.
So to your point about how many generational quarterbacks can we have in a generation, he was thought to be maybe above all of them, right? You'd have to go back to him from Caleb to be the one who was the most supposed to be generational. Certainly, you would categorize his career so far as disappointing.
When you're 39-3 in your college career, right? And then you come to the NFL and you have a 3-win season. Granted, he didn't get off to the best start.
He had your boy Urban.
With Urban Meyer as your head coach. So a brutal start there. But no, he has not become the player that they wanted him to immediately be.
They had a stretch where they went 14-3 from the end of last year and then the mid-stretch till San Francisco went down and stomped them. Down there in South Florida or in Florida last year where they were very, very, very good, but they haven't put it together in 2 seasons and obviously in the playoffs. Now, when we talk about Kansas City's run the last 2 years, I mean, they're a 97-yard Chad Henne drive away from beating Kansas City in Kansas City 2 years ago in the playoffs, right, and knocking them off. But Chad Henne came in relief of Mahomes in that game and led that long drive, got the Chiefs back into the game, and Jacksonville wasn't get over the hump. And then I would say last year was certainly disappointing. They were the odds-on favorite to win their division.
And had an 8-3 start to the season.
And finished third.
Yeah. Yeah. They early in the season, Lawrence, too, had the second best completion percentage in the league. He finished the year at 65-6 completions, 22nd QBR among players with more than five games. So started the season on an awesome trajectory. And then between the injuries and other issues, the season just fall apart. I mentioned that 8-3 start the first half of the season. They were tied with Miami and Kansas City for the second best record in the AFC at that time, just a half game back of Baltimore. Won just one more game the rest of the way, Mike. And it was against Carolina in a game that Trevor Lawrence did not play. That was the C.J. Beathard game.
Yep.
So it just fell apart for them. So what do you think, just prospects for this season?
It's an interesting division because you certainly have the Houston team on the rise. A lot of people think they could win the whole AFC. You get Richardson back in Indianapolis, right? And Flacco is the backup. So Indianapolis is pointed up. All of a sudden, they were the big dog in a division that looked like they were going to dominate for a decade or longer with Trevor Lawrence. And now they're on the outside looking at what are the odds for the South there?
Texans plus 110 favorite, Jags plus 240.
Colts are a little bit interesting at 340.
What can Anthony Richardson be?
We don't know, right?
No clue.
They drafted him with all this thought of a high ceiling, right? And so we'll get to see that. But, I mean, if Jonathan Taylor would stay in bounds, they win that division. Twice he ran out of bounds in that same series, and they end up throwing a pass on fourth down, and Houston wins it all.
You're not wrong. Speaking of how intriguing and interesting this division is, three quarterbacks all drafted last year. Like, that is a very young group, with the Texans, of course, leading the way, and C.J. Stroud with his remarkable rookie season. Coming up next on the Lombardi Line, some hockey talk as NHL betting analyst and host Nick Alberga joins the show. He covers the Leafs very closely. For the third time in the Matthews-Marner era, the Leafs get the Bruins in the first round. Will the third time be the charm for Toronto? We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with Stormy Bonatoni and Mike Palm on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you like the Lombardi Line, you'll love the GM Shuffle. Hear our guy, Michael Lombardi, give his unfiltered opinion on players, teams, and coaching decisions every Monday and Thursday each week throughout the year alongside our guy, Femi Abebefe. Download and subscribe to the GM Shuffle podcast from VSiN and DraftKings today, wherever you get your podcast. Same thing with this show, by the way. Whenever we are done, you can find it in downloadable form wherever you get your podcasts. Alongside Mike Palm, Stormy Bonantoni with you. And let's get a little hockey talk in here as we welcome in Nick Alberga, host and director of Leafs Morning Take, NHL Fantasy on Ice. Speaking of podcasts, download that as well. Become a subscriber. Follow him at The Golden Muzzy on X. All right, Nick, we know the playoff picture. It is set. What are maybe some of your just biggest surprises right off the top, or matchups you love, matchups you can't stand?
Guys, great to be with you. Exhilarating time in the hockey world for sure. There's so many different intriguing lineups and matchups, and I can't believe I'm going to come on here. I might have to bet against Vegas again. I don't know how you guys feel about this series. It was like kiss of death last year when I said Vegas, no chance they're beating Edmonton in round two, and then you guys win the Stanley Cup. But there's a lot of close calls. Like, I don't know if you guys feel the same way this time.
I have to ask you this before we get specifically into series. I was not of the opinion as a Golden Knights fan that the better path was through Dallas, but it sure seemed like they had the game set to go into mine last night, that they had no problem with going to Dallas and didn't want to face Edmonton. And then I thought the Kings thought the same thing, giving up three straight goals to the Blackhawks on three shots to open. What am I missing here? I would much rather go to Edmonton in a series than have to go to Dallas. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong. I think we love narratives in the media in general. I don't know if teams are pinpointing who they want to play. Because, yeah, that was wild last night. Like, for a second, it felt like Edmonton was going to be, pinpointed for this. And then, like, it changed last minute. So, like, I think we read too much into that in sports in general. But I think what I could tell you about the Western Conference specifically, You can make a legitimate case, and I'm including Nashville because, quite frankly, I think I'm on that upset. The Preds have been hot for like 35 games. You can make a legitimate case for all eight of those teams to go not only win a round, but go really, really far. It's like a crazy year, I find.
No question about it. With the Dallas Stars, though, Like, I just keep thinking, because we talked about it earlier, I know that the Golden Knights did sweep the Stars in the regular season series. They obviously had success against them in the playoffs last year to ultimately get to where they went on their path to win a Stanley Cup last year. But I feel like there's a redemption factor. There's a Pete DeBoer factor there. There is, this Stars team has just been one of the more consistent and best in the league right now. You look at the odds board for them to win it all, plus 850. They're right there among the leaders in this category. I mean, I think the Stanley Cup playoffs are going to be great. I think that'll be a competitive series, but I definitely have a lot of fear for Vegas, because we also don't know like how healthy Mark Stone is going to be out there. We there's a lot of question marks, I feel.
Oh, he's 100%. You didn't hear in the media the last couple of days, this guy just pops up at playoff time 3 years in a row. I don't doubt it. Mark Stone's a warrior. I'm not throwing shade at him, but I think this is the way I would break down this series. And I think you're bang on with those points. I think it's important to stress, you throw everything you see in the regular season out the window. On top of that, I think the last time Vegas played Dallas, it was like before Christmas. So all three of those games happened before Christmas. The Stars went on an impeccable run. I love the revenge narrative with Pete DeBoer. To me, I think the biggest reason why I'm siding with Dallas, or why I will bet Dallas in this series, is the goaltending. Obviously, Adin Hill was the big conversation last year. Ignites that team on that run against Edmonton. I just don't know how much faith I have in either Adin Hill right now, the way he's played since he came back from his latest setback, or Logan Thompson, who I think is going to play at some point in this series, as opposed to Jake Oettinger. But Mike, we've talked about this a lot. Jake Oettinger has just had a weird, weird season where he just can't get on track. But the last little while, slowly but surely, he is rounding into form, and that's why I give Dallas the edge in this series.
I don't know. I don't know if he's good enough. I say this every year, and I say it about Ben Bishop, and all these guys come in for two or three years and they're top three in the league for Dallas, and then it's over. I don't know if Oettinger's good enough. I don't think Georgiev is good enough. Let me ask you this question. I don't normally make a future bet when we get to the playoffs. I try to make mine preseason and then at the All-Star break. But I'm looking at Winnipeg at 18-1. They're going to have home ice, and they dominated Colorado in this series. I know they would get the winner of Vegas or Dallas in the second round, but that seems like when you have the Vezina winner, when you've got the best goalie in the world and you can roll out four lines, the 18-1 seems like a pretty decent price to me.
I think it's a great price. And I think you talk about gamers, you talk about Winnipeg, you talk about defense, like it's the ultimate firepower versus defense. And it's funny you say that, because that's my sort of sidebar story in this series is goaltending. Obviously with Hellebuck, he's going to win the Vezina trophy, but it's more about Alexander Georgiev. Can he stop the puck? But you look at that Winnipeg roster. I love what they did at the trade deadline. Sean Monahan, Tyler Toffoli. They got the back end spearheaded by Josh Morrissey. So yeah, I think that's a really, really good look. Like obviously it's going to be a tough series, especially against Colorado, especially against McKinnon and Rantanen and all those guys. But I think there is a pathway for Winnipeg to do some substantial damage, not only in this series, but also for the majority of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Like that's a team that I think from day one, people have been sleeping on because, again, we were expecting them to take a step back. I mean, Blake Wheeler's gone, and then the whole Dubois situation, but that trade has worked in their benefit too. Like Winnipeg's been on the back burner, and I think it might almost help them here in the postseason.
Potential there for a really, really good series. I could see it going seven. I would like it to go seven. I know you wouldn't if you're taking a futures out on them, but I think that that's going to be one of the more fun sets, as Nick Alberga joins us here on the Lombardi Line, host and director of Leafs Morning Take, the NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast as well. And Nick, obviously you cover the Leafs extremely closely. It looks like a coin flip, great series there as well against the Boston Bruins, who I know that the Leafs exercised their round one demons last year, but they haven't exercised them against the Bruins specifically. And the Bruins are certainly very motivated after what happened in their first round early exit last year against Florida. How do you see this series shaking out?
Boston owns them. I mean, I always say that the Leafs will have to overcome themselves if they're going to have any success in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I mean, you look at the players on paper, they're tremendous. Auston Matthews had 69 goals. I mean, first time in, what, 26 years since somebody got, to set, or close to 70 at least. I think when you look specifically at this series, it's going to come up to a matchup game, obviously up the middle. I mean, Krejci and Bergeron are no longer there. It's Charlie Coyle and Pavel Zacha. I mean, with all due respect to those guys, that's a matchup game you have to win if you're the Maple Leafs. Goaltending is going to be a big story for me in that series. The 5.5 number, I think, is polarizing to start. I like the over from that perspective. But I think when you look at the Maple Leafs, push comes to shove. At some point in time, you have to exercise your demons. I think it's a long series. In fact, it's important to stress, fourth meeting in the first round since 2013. The previous three have all gone seven games. So I would probably bank on that. I think it's a pick 'em.
You know, you say 5.5 polarizing. I think in the Capitals-Rangers series, you might get to fives. The Caps don't score too many 5-on-5 goals. And I think Lindgren's been terrific since he got the job full-time. I want to ask you this, Nick. Obviously, Stanley Cup's a whole different animal, and these buildings will all be rocking. So there's to that home ice part. But how important as a handicapper is the last change to you? Are there coaches in a playoff scenario that you give more value to having the last change in the home games? And I would just throw out like a John Cooper to you.
Yeah, it all comes down to coaching. You put your players in the best opportunity to produce. I think you catch guys tired when they can't make a change. Like, all that impacts it, especially when you look at the New York Rangers or Artemi Panarin, the year he's had. And certainly, I think you look at the depth. I mean, I know a lot of people are making, plus minus a big conversation when it comes to the Washington Capitals. But Spencer Carberry did a really, really good job. So I think home ice specifically in a series like this could be crucial and monumental. And you look at the New York Rangers, I mean, there's a lot of value, I think, in this team. But I think in general in this series, like you mentioned it, you hit the nail on the head. That would scare the hell out of me if I'm the New York Rangers. Charlie Lindgren, like every year you guys saw it in Vegas, like why can't Lindgren be that guy who leads this team on an improbable run, especially when you have greatness in the form of Alexander Ovechkin. Everybody's sleeping on you. And oh yeah, the New York Rangers won the President's Trophy. So I think this series could be closer than people expect. And I'm right there with you. I have it labeled as an under series because let's not forget who's at the other side of the rink, and that's Igor Shesterkin, right?
Yeah.
I did not expect you to say that you thought it would be closer than people think. So that is very, very interesting.
Oh, I definitely do.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. This Washington team they won every game. They had a win down the stretch, and they didn't do it with much margin. They did it by keeping the opponent under two. They scored in spots with Ovechkin. They took advantage. I think they're very dangerous here if New York gets behind.
President's Trophy curse. Don't forget about that, right? Look at Boston last year, the best regular season in history, and they blew a 3-1 lead. So never say never, Stormy.
Hey, real quick, Nick, you only got 20 seconds. Is Jim Montgomery going to be able to go all Mark Swayman, all Mark Swayman? Is he going to be able to do it this year?
If he does that, he could lose his job. I think it's quite clear it's Swayman's crease. It should be his crease because Linus Allmark's going to get dealt in the offseason. Maybe at the Sphere. You never know.
Nick, you're awesome. Best of luck with all your bets. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Nicky.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Nick Alberga, follow him on X at the Golden Muzzy. And again, make sure you check out the NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast as well as Leafs Morning Take. We're going to hit the break. When we come back, we got a little UFL in store as well as Mike's bets for the day. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with Stormy Bonantoni and Mike Palm on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Remember, guys, here at VSiN right now for a limited time, we're offering 2 weeks of our exclusive betting splits for free when you sign up at VSiN.com/splits. If you haven't checked them out before, our betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes so you can see changes as they happen, find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. And it's not just for the games in action today, but future events by date as well. Take advantage of this limited time offer. VSiN.com/splits is how you can claim your free 2 week access. Mike Palm and Stormy Bonantoni with you back here on the Lombardi Line. And you know how, like, on a numbers game and some other random shows, we'll have the tennis bets that we throw in, or the random, you hit your MLS or your overseas soccer stuff. This is our segment in the NFL show where we're just going to throw it all out there and we're going to say, okay, we've got some MLB today, we've got some NHL, we've got some UFL as well.
I have two baseball games today that I bet already. So that's it, because I haven't made a wager on the series yet in hockey.
I haven't. That's surprising.
I'll end up betting like 3 or 4 out of the 8. Okay. Either with a game handicap or the money line if it's close to even. I don't like to lay big prices. If I do, I would try to put them together in a parlay, because everybody allows you to parlay the series prices. Now, okay, two games here. I'm going to take the Twins over the Tigers here. I just think Jack Flaherty's pitching for the Tigers. he's not back yet. I mean, you look at him, he's a shadow of what he was when he was in St. Louis, and he was probably the most dominant pitcher in the National League at the time. And Joe Ryan is a very consistent starter for the Twins. Tigers come off a long game in terms of time loss. Maeda got rocked again yesterday. Al Leiter's son started for Texas. But that game was almost a four-hour game, which is almost unheard of now with the pitch clock. So I'll lay the 150 at home with the Twins with Joe Ryan. And then the other game I looked at is the Brewers at the Cardinals. Freddie Peralta on the mound for Milwaukee in this spot against the Cardinals. I think Milwaukee's the better team to begin with. But it's also a little bit of a fate of Kyle Gibson, who's gotten off to a really rough start here for the Cards. So I'll take the better starting pitcher there. I'm going to isolate that to the first five, and I'll lay a little more of a price, minus 130, full games around 120. But I like to take the bullpens out of it here. I looked at the Yankees game the other day, Toronto, and I wanted to play Toronto to go against Stroman, and I bet it full game. They're up 4-1 going to the ninth. Of course, they lose. Of course, they give up five in the top of that. That's really fun. I'm done with it. I'll just play first five. But I had the right handicap and the wrong result.
So things like that, though, have you noticed anything specifically in the early season of just things that you already know you want to stay off of, or that you riding any trends or streaks or anything like that?
There's two teams I'm watching that I think are better than I thought they were going to be. One's the Royals, which is everybody's talking about because the kids are hitting so well and scoring runs. I think the Padres are a lot better than I thought they were going to be. This lineup has been very good top to bottom. And if they can get some starting pitching, I think they're a playoff team, Stormy.
Really?
And their win total went up when they got Cease from the White Sox. And it got away from me. You could have got it at 81, and then it got to 83.5, 80, and I didn't bet it. But I might take a shot at betting them yes to the playoffs here. I've been impressed so far.
1-2 of 3 in that series at the Dodgers, 1-2 of 3 against the Brewers this week. Yeah, I can see it. I would hope so. Like, you know, that's a team that I root for. Oh, yeah. I'm not super dialed into Major League Baseball right now, but I always root for the Padres. So I would love to see that. And that'll give me something when the postseason comes around to get into. I know you said you haven't bet any of these NHL series yet, but I was looking at the Canes price to lay 2.5 games in that series on the series spread, plus 145.
So you got
to
win in five, four or five.
I was going to say, and Canes in five specifically is plus 300. I feel like that's very realistic against
what's
the
minus two and a half?
Plus 145.
I don't mind that. I guess if you bet them in five and they're up 3-0, you can bet the Islanders in the next game. Mm-hmm. Right. And the Islanders, although they'll be at home, would be a big dog if they're down 0-3.
We were just talking about it in the commercial break before we came on here, though, that this Canes team had no problem at all against the Islanders last year in the playoffs. And the Canes are better this year and the Islanders are worse. So I feel like there's no doubt in my mind the Canes are going to win this series. It's just by how many games.
I don't know who you can trust in the pipe for the Islanders. I think you can make the argument that they're even though they weren't the worst goal differential, obviously, is Washington, that they're the worst team in the East that qualified, even though they weren't a wild card. They were the 3 seed in the Metro. And then maybe the Kings right now are the worst. Certainly not Nashville. They've played so well the second half of the year. But maybe the Kings are the only one that I have a future on right now, which I bet preseason at 26-1. Now they're around 33-35. So I gained no value on having them finish third in the Pacific, although I'm very happy the way the result went because I thought they would have no chance against Dallas. They took Edmonton
to
seven. So you
like it better that they're
against the
Oilers.
They took them to seven games last year, if you remember, in the first round. I think they have a fighter's chance, even though they're not playing great. I mean,
take the over.
When did Edmonton start Skinner last night? They called all these kids up and put Skinner in to give up 4 goals in 10 minutes and pull him. I mean, is that good for his head going into the playoffs?
No, not at all.
Strange.
I'm pretty pumped, though, for the NHL postseason, though. A lot of these series are going to be great. We talk about that Canes-Islander series as it's, you know, a big favorite. Same thing with the Rangers and Capitals. But every other series is very closely priced, and I think we're going to have competitive good games. In the UFL, so this, for anybody who doesn't know, I do sideline for college football as well as spring football, the UFL on ESPN. And every week, my producer at ESPN has tasked me on making at least one selection, a side or a total, on every single game, every single week.
Well, you've become the betting expert for this, not just at the network, but overall.
Yes. So they're like, which is cool. Yeah. It's nice to like have a little bit of a different role. It's not just sideline reporter, but it's sideline reporter slash betting analyst on these games. And I'm so far, like I said, I've had to make a pick on each game. I'm 7-4-1 in those selections so far. And two of the four losses were by a hook or by a point. One of which, as I told you earlier, I was absolutely commiserating on because of this 4th-and-12 rule, which I love conceptually. Last year in the XFL, it was the 4th-and-15. I think a 4th-and-15 or a 4th-and-20 is good. 4th-and-12 is just too easy. There have been two attempts so far in the league this year. Both of them have won and allowed the team that was significantly worse in the game to ultimately win the game. The Arlington Renegades outgained the DC Defenders by like 160 yards. They had the ball for 20 more minutes. They were the far superior team, but up 10 with 2 minutes to go, they let DC score. They complete a 2-point conversion because, again, you can do a 1, 2, or 3-point conversion in the UFL. So throw your key numbers out the window in this sport. And then they convert a 4th-and-12 walk-off field goal. They win the game when they shouldn't have. And I lose my Arlington money line bet by 1 point. So there's a lot of good things about the UFL, an opportunity win, but there's also a lot of frustration from the standpoint of if you're up 10 with 2 minutes to go, you're not feeling comfortable whatsoever.
Well, I think I asked this to Michael about, would the NFL ever go to this 4th-and-X instead of these onside kicks because they're only 3% and they're trying to take kicking out of it? And he said it's just very unfair that the team that's ahead has to defend that 4th-down play.
The Eagles have pitched the 4th-and-20 year after year after year, and it still just doesn't get through. I like it. I think a 4th-and-20 would be cool, or maybe just find another way to make it more challenging.
The bad part about it is if you get a defensive illegal contact, you get a 1st down, right? I mean, that's the
I wonder if there's anything that you can do specifically for that play.
That it's only 5 yards and you retry, right? Because it's too much. It's a change of possession.
Exactly. Because it's different. It's exactly like you said, it's a change of possession there. A couple trends just to let you guys know. Week 1, and early on in spring leagues like this, you see like the defenses are ahead of offenses, right? And so week 1, we saw unders sweep the board. Week 2, it was 2-2. This past week, overs swept the board because now the offenses are starting to gel and click. And so there hasn't been a lot of rhyme or reason for the totals right now. Favorites are 6-6 as well. Favorites have started to separate themselves from the pack a little bit over the last week. We saw them go 3-1 last week. If there's one thing I can leave you with in this segment, it's that the Birmingham Stallions are a freaking wagon. And this might be the last time truly that you can get them at a plus money price to win it all this year. They've won the last two USFL spring football titles. They're plus 140 right now to win the UFL championship this year. They're an 8-point favorite against the Defenders this week at home. I saw it circa. That's already been bet up to 9.5. It's they're like Scottie Scheffler. Just bet them whatever because it feels like they're going to win.
Why? Who's the quarterback?
Adrian Martinez, backup Matt Corral.
Matt Corral.
Yes, which I actually saw in the 2-deep this week that he's listed as the starter, which was interesting to me because Adrian Martinez is coming off like a 400-yard, 3-total touchdown day. So I'm not sure why Matt Corral would be starting if that ends up being the case. But either way, you're in great hands with them. And something that I learned recently, I didn't think that this would be available in the UFL. You can tease these games too. And like I said, some of my losers have been by 1 point or a hook. If you can get a little bit extra bang for your buck,
start buying points,
a little leeway, you're getting crazy. Well, no, it's funny you say that. Ian Fitzsimmons he's one of the reporters that does the XFL UFL stuff, and he always talks about how like he gets beat by hooks all the time. He always buys the half a point. I was like, you're insane.
How have the crowds been? I know St. Louis draws 40,000. How have the crowds been across the board?
Hit or miss.
Yeah.
But the product has been good.
Yeah.
So like if you're watching on TV, you're not watching for the crowd anyways. You're watching for the game, and the games have been good and interesting and down to the wire. Not all atmospheres are created equal, but St. Louis and DC far and away the best that you're going to see in the league.
This is the Lombardi Line with Stormy Bonatoni and Mike Palm on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament that wraps up tonight through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use the code VSIN because new customers that do bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. That's VSIN, V-S-I-N, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. And rumor has it, we have a new animation intro for Does Palm Have a Qualm? Roll it.
Some bets just don't sit right with Mike Palm.
You took all the money you made and bet it against the Harlem Globetrotters?
Are you considering a bet that would make him sick?
I'm going to throw up. I think I'm going to throw up.
It's time to ask Mike, would Palm have a qualm?
I like the emoji throwing up. That's pretty ingenious there. All right, the first one from some of our Twitter submissions that have come through. Thank you for those of you who have responded to the tweet. This one from Zach at Z_Daskalov13. I hope I said that right. Probably not, though. The Steelers to win the AFC North Division, +850 is the price. Mr. Palm, do you have a qualm?
I do have a qualm because I think they have to overcome three different teams here in this division. One of whom I'm very high on in Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati is going to take the biggest step forward of all the teams. But in order for the Steelers to win the division, they have to overcome Cincinnati. They have to overcome the number one seed last year in Baltimore. And oh, by the way, a Cleveland team whose defense was pretty darn good when they played at home. If they can figure out this Rome home split for their defense, I think there's an issue there. I think it's just too tough of a division and it's too much to ask for them to win it outright.
I think it's going to be the best division, potentially, like competition-wise, in the league right now.
Better is the best in the NFC, the North? The two Norths, the really fun divisions?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
I do too.
Let's keep this rolling. From Jared, our next tweet. VGK. This is just cruel. The Vegas Golden Knights, defending Stanley Cup champions. Would Palm have a qualm with them getting swept in the first round against Dallas?
They're the defending Stanley Cup champions. I think that's a long ass to think that they're going to get swept. I know Nicky Alberger talked about Aiden Hill. He still had the top save percentage in the NHL this year for those goalies that qualified. And you're bringing your whole team back. I don't know if Pietrangelo, is he going to be back for the first game? We know Stone's going to be back. They're putting this illegal salary cap team back on the ice because there's no salary cap in the playoffs. I don't know that Dallas can be consistent enough for four games to sweep. I have a qualm. I would need about double that price to bet this, close to 14 or 15 to 1.
I know you had your doubts about Jake Oettinger, but can't he like go into playoff god mode just like Andre Vasilevsky can every now and then through a series?
Well, he hasn't done it yet, right?
Sure.
So he got beat by the Knights last year. I know we were on vacation in New York trying to find this game, you know, right? Nobody in New York was dying to show the Knights and the Knights and Stars, right?
Yeah.
So we're like trying to find a restaurant where the games were on while we were in New York City for a week. He just hasn't done it. And I keep thinking he's going to emerge as the best goaltender in the National Hockey League. But this is like the third straight year I've felt this, and it hasn't happened yet.
So +750, not worthwhile.
Not
Palm
enough.
Does have a qualm. Mm-hmm. This next one is interesting because you and Nick Albergo were on the program earlier hyping up the Caps as making that series against the Rangers a little bit closer. Can you take the Caps going deeper? Bill Moore tweeted his submission. The Caps are a human lock to hoist the cup. OV second. You get the little throw up emoji there. 150-1 for the Caps to win the Stanley Cup.
Well, I think the statement human lock is a bit hyperbolic. I don't mind this, though, because I think they're going to make this series more competitive than people think. I would prefer, I'm not going to say I have a qualm. I would prefer to bet this series to take them either +2.5 or +1.5 games or look for spots to isolate them, maybe game three at home. But I say not so fast on people who think the Rangers are just going to roll through the Capitals.
It's just hard when you look at a goal differential in the minus 30s. It's hard to stomach.
That was Kemper, too. Kemper was a big part of that. And so I say, you know, Stormy, of the four major sports, the Stanley Cup's the most unpredictable playoff format.
Yeah, and they call it the hardest trophy in sports to win for
16.
A reason.
Take 16.
Ron, see, I'm struggling with these names, guys. I apologize in advance. Ron Mycetic? R. Mycetic on X, he says, does Palm have a qualm with the Pittsburgh Pirates to win the National League at 100-1 or the World Series at 200-1?
Yeah, I do. I think that's too short. I will say the NL Central is very interesting. The only team I could tell you I totally discount at this point is the Cardinals. I don't think they did enough with their pitching staff. I don't think their lineup is good enough. The third baseman is a shell of what he was. I don't know, he's won all the gold gloves, but he's just not hitting the ball. He's making too many key outs. Interesting. Cubs have a lot of upside. The Brewers have played fantastic. I was a fade the Brewers person to begin with, and I still think the Reds are an interesting choice. It'll be a competitive division. Can the Pirates beat the Dodgers or the Braves in a series in the playoffs or both? I don't think so.
That's a wrap for all of our submissions on Twitter, but please keep these coming every single week. Tweet at us any of these Would Palm Have a Qualm ideas. I'm going to keep it rolling with some from our producers here. The Knicks to sweep the 76ers, 14-1. Would Palm have a qualm?
Yes. Too short. I actually think the 76ers are probably going to win this series. I love Thibodeau. Tibbs is a great coach. Maybe he's top three in my book in the modern NBA. But with Embiid back, that's a whole different team. They get the benefit of the seeding and the way this works out. To Noop's point, I mean, the winner of this probably gets Indiana with Giannis being out. So, I mean, the winner of this likely a path to the finals here and a shot at the Celtics. I think this is going to be a good series. Depending on where you look at this, either team favored. You know, there's a wide variance in the prices. And, of course, a lot of that has to do with future book.
Sure. And I know, at least initially on DraftKings when this came out, the 76ers were an even bigger favorite than they are now at just -115, because that did get bet the other way. And we're seeing largely -110 both ways right now in this series. How about the Nuggets and Lakers? I know that this is a very hefty price. -310 for the Denver Nuggets just to beat the Lakers. No series spread involved, no exact price, just -310. Do you have a qualm laying it with Denver?
No. I would parlay it with other series that I like, because I don't want to lose $3
parlay
to
it
one.
Parlay with the Canes.
$3 to one. You could parlay
it. Just keep it going,
You could parlay it with the Canes. Trying to think what other series I would isolate it with in the NHL. They're tough. They're really tough, right? Yeah. I think the Kings, I think Nashville will give them a series.
NBA series, what would Boston be favored? Because you could throw that one in as well for the first round. Everybody expects them. Would that even be worth it to throw into the parlay?
That'd be very heavy. Okay, let's parlay it with the Canes.
All right. I like it. The Royals to win the AL. We were talking about Kansas City earlier.
I bet them to win the division. To win the American League. So what, as it shapes up now, like the Yankees have played very well. Probably you could say the Guardians have been the second best team, but they lost Bieber. I don't have a qualm with this. I think this team has a lot of upside. You can go out there and hit the ball like the way they're doing. I think Singer has upside as the starter. Why not take a shot? What's the price? 35-1?
Yep.
No qualm.
So yesterday, Michael and I on the program were reviewing some of the statements from Bill Belichick on the Pat McAfee show this week. A lot of them serious, one of them not whatsoever, which was about the fact that he doesn't like coffee. You come in here every Friday with a coffee that looks like it is pure milk and has a ton of whipped cream on it. Would Palm have a qualm with just a hot black coffee?
Couldn't do it. Couldn't stomach it. I have a huge qualm with it. I take a little coffee with my sugar and cream. Okay. Seriously, that's the way I have to have things sweet. I typically like things very sweet.
I'm with you. Another thing that I learned about Mr. Bill Belichick, not only does he not like coffee, he likes his steak well done. Do you have a qualm with a well done steak?
All the chefs do, right? All the great chefs said you're only supposed to cook it a little bit. I tell you, I order my steak medium. I could eat a well done steak more than I could eat a rare one, though. I can't.
Really?
I can't eat one just sopping in blood.
See, yeah, like,
there's some places I've gone, they're very good, and I like the prime rib, but they say we don't cook it other than medium rare. And then I at least they tell you.
Yeah.
Because you order it medium, and then they cook it medium rare, and they say, well, we don't cook it. At least they tell you up front.
Do you have a qualm with medium rare?
No, I don't have a qualm with it. I have a qualm with rare, and I guess I could say, I don't know, you're taking all the flavor out of it well done, in my opinion.
I'm a medium rare gal, medium rare plus. That's the way that I do it.
Medium rare plus.
Yes.
Is that a category?
Oh, yeah. You throw the pluses in there. It means you get a little in between.
Does medium rare plus go on which side?
In between medium rare and rare.
Oh, okay. So it's more on the rare side.
Correct. Yes.
Interesting.
So
if I said medium well plus, would that be more on the well side?
If you said medium well
plus.
It would be going up. It'd be more on the medium side.
Okay.
So the plus is like bumping you up.
I would like that medium well plus would be all right.
There you go. See, we're just learning new
things
every day.
I'm learning a lot from Stormy.
My husband and I went to Barry's with his mother one day, and she got a filet well done. They had to butterfly it to make it well done. I was like, I love you, Vicky. What are we doing right now?
They don't like it. It's offensive.
Not, we can't be
Ask
doing
for
this.
Ketchup, too.
I know that qualm doesn't rhyme with Stormy, but Stormy has a qualm as well Great show. This was a lot of fun. Good luck with your bets, everybody, today. Enjoy the play-in, and we'll see you next week.